Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
Another wonderful Sunday where, you know, for you guys that are tuning in once again, what we do here, we study the book of Proverbs that corresponds with every Sunday. This is your host, truly, Anthony Kayson Jr., with my man,
Jamal Harris.
Minister Jamal. He's going to be hosting today, along with me, the co-host. So we're going to start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all here safely once again. Pray that you just bless us to get through another week. Pray that you just help us to learn something today that keeps us going. And somehow we can just get some enlightenment and learn more about you, grow knowledge and wisdom. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today is June the 26th. And basically, we're going to be studying Proverbs 26. And I'm going to hand it over to Jamal to do the first verse here.
All right. Good morning, man. This is the first word, like Brother Anthony just said. We'll be studying Proverbs 26. So the first verse says, like snow in the summer or rain in the harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. And I believe that this verse is saying that just like in summertime, like right now, it's too hot right now for snow to even fall, even be thought about, or even to it's too hot outside for snow to even stick right now, or it's not the right season for snow right now. And what the word is telling us is that, just like snow in the summer, honor is not fitting for a fool, because a fool says there's no God. So when we take a look at this verse, I believe that it's showing us that honor is for the righteous. Honor is for the righteous. Honor is not for the wicked. Honor is not for a fool. So I believe that this is what this verse is telling us. Any comments on this verse, or anybody that can explain it more? All lines are open.
All right, so moving forward, I'm going to go ahead and do verse 2 here. So verse 2, it says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse costless shall not come. I think this verse in verse 2 talks about how, just like birds, when they dart around and how they move around in certain places, sometimes they don't sit down, you know, they hover certain places and stuff and they use their wings. It's like, as a curse, you know, like it said in verse 1, some things just don't fit. So it's hard for those to stick around when you're doing the right thing or when, you know, you're blessed to be in the right place with God at certain times. I feel as though, you know, when you're doing the right thing, it's like, you know, you're dodging all the bullets and everything, and, you know, God's keeping you from those things. And that's the way, you know, the birds are. They like to move around, go certain places. They go certain places that we can't even do. Planes can't even move like them no more or at all. So, I mean, you know, it's always a thing of moving. That's the way I feel about it. Anybody have any comments?
Yeah. I think, good morning, everyone. I think you're right on with that. You know, the birds, they move quickly, and they don't rest very long in one place, a sparrow or swallow. So like you said, when you're doing the right thing, curses don't have the chance to stick with you. And it's important to understand that if you're doing the right thing, trouble weeping may endure for a night, joy is going to come in the morning. Things might come your way, but it's not going to stick. It's not going to sit there for a while. So that was an example with the birds moving in and out. If you're doing the right thing, they're not going to be able to, the curses are not going to be able to stay long, which is good news.
Amen. Any more comments before we continue? Once again, all lines are over. Where we will move forward to verse 3. Verse 3 says, a whip for the horse, a halter for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. And I believe that this verse is telling us that this is fitting for a fool. When we were talking about in verse 1 how honor is not fitting for a fool, and I believe that this is what verse 3 is talking about. These, it says a whip for a horse. That's fitting for a horse. Everybody has seen horse racing, and you see the jockeys, and when you see that when they want the horse to move faster, or they when they want the horse to pick up the speed, what they grab is the whip, and they begin to hit the horse, and that is letting the horse is indicating to the horse that you need to pick up speed and or that, you know, a form of discipline. So I believe that this verse is saying that this is fitting for a fool, a rod for the backs, because a couple first words ago, might be a long time now, but Pastor said that, you know, pain is a national reminder. And when you receive these things when you're being disciplined, so when you're doing what you're not supposed to do, these are the consequences. Anybody can comment on that?
It's definitely fitting to, you know, with these proverbs, these first, I believe these first 12 verses deal with fools. And, you know, as men, we sometimes like to cut up and act fool, but we have to make sure that when it comes time to do the work of the Lord, that we're not categorized in that area when it comes time to be a godly man. Because in this verse, it's saying the horse is controlled by a bridle and a rod for the back will fool. And, you know, it's what's going to happen is if you act a fool, those things that you interact with are going to control you. You'll be swayed by them. You'll be playing that fool, you know, all the time. And it's really not a good thing to play the fool and don't even know you're playing a fool. In the rest of this chapter, there's some areas in there that talk about this, but if you play the fool,
then there's going to be a rod somewhere along the line. There's going to be some punishment. So keep playing the fool. I know my grandmother used to say, keep tearing your tail. Or if you make your bed hard, you're going to sleep in it. But if you keep acting up, sooner or later it's going to catch up with you, just like a rod on the back of a fool. Keep acting up. Keep testing someone. Keep playing. Keep tempting. Keep doing the wrong thing. Keep thinking you're going to be slick. Sooner or later, it's going to get you.
Any more comments before we move on? All right, so like you just said, you know, it's basically summing up the whole chapter here. You know, we're going to move on to verse 4 right here. It was just like how he was talking about, you know, getting on a level of a fool. So it says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So basically that's what he was just saying, you know, stooping down to somebody else's level of being a fool, you're basically like playing into it just like him. So it's like certain times in life, you know, you don't have to say certain things to certain people because in turn you're on the same level as them. Sometimes, you know, people are like, you know, don't stoop down to their level or don't do certain things to other people because, you know, they just want to hear something. They just want to go tit for tat. And when you play into that, you play right into their trap. And at the end of the day, you know, it's not good at all. So you guys got anything to say about that?
Yeah, I think verses 4 and 5, you have to look at them together. In verse 4, it says, don't answer him according to his folly. But in verse 5, it says, answer him according to his folly. And so you have to find a balance of when to say something, when not to say something. Because if you answer him according to his folly, you know, then you're going to play into that game. You're going to find yourself getting caught away in a bunch of drama that's really not about nothing. But if you let it go unchecked, then he's going to think he's right, or they're going to think they're right. So you have to find the balance of when to say something or when not to say something. That's why you got to stay prayed up and in the Word of God, because sometimes it's not worth it, but then sometimes you just got to say, hey, you know, that doesn't make sense. You know, you might want to continue to do it, but I'm not going to do it because that doesn't make sense. You know, and they can go on being foolish, but you got to play the balance. You know, some things people do, some stupid stuff you do, is you're like, whatever, I'm not even getting into it. I'm going to let that go. But then some things you gotta just say, you know, hey, that doesn't make sense, man. You know, keep treating somebody or talking to somebody like that, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Amen. That speaks to the fact of, you know, some people just want to talk, like you said, just to hear they self talk. And, you know, sometimes when you, like you said, Pat, you gotta evaluate the situation and see if, you know, if it's worth saying something, because at the end of the day, you know, when you know certain things or everything just does not deserve a response, you know, and some things do, because maybe you like you say, you just judge a situation. Sometimes people just talk the talk, and then sometimes people say stupid things because they don't know. So that was very, very agree with your comment. So if there's no more comments, we'll move on to verse 6. It says, like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is sending of a message by the hand of a fool. I believe that this verse is telling us that a fool, you really cannot trust him with information because he's a fool. And when I say that, it's because you can send out a message that says the phone is ringing, but by the time that you give this to this fool and he goes and tells the information, it's a whole different story. So I believe that that's what this verse is saying. Patrick, you think you can help me out a little bit, break it down a little more?
Yeah, it's you're on it. It's just a thing of if you. In verses 6 and 7 tie together too, but it's like you're sending a message by someone that can't even handle the message. It's sort of like asking someone to, all right, I need you to go and I need you to take this bottle, like my son, take these bottles to Lowe's and get some water, you know. And you know, he comes back with some bottles of detergent, you know. And it's like, you know, what are you doing? It's like, so you said get some bottles. You didn't say exactly what bottles it was. You know, and it's like, you know, you end up poisoning yourself, or you end up hurting yourself by sending someone that doesn't know how to do the job, or is a fool. You know, he's in the Lowe's, you know, cutting up with the girls, kicking it, telling people, well, yeah, man, he told me he didn't know what he said, but I'm gonna take these back and bring this home, you know, and it's hurtful to yourself. That's why you have to be careful who you hang out with. You got to be careful to make sure that, you know, you're hanging out with people that are in the Word, that are you can trust that they're gonna make a godly decision. You just can't have anybody and everybody, you know, on your squad. You gotta be careful who you pick to be on your squad, because, you know, if you need someone to bring water and they come back with liquid detergent, you know, it's like, come on, man, what is your problem? You know, but you really gotta step to them and say, hey, you know, you ain't got there yet. Don't be mad because you're not on the squad. But you know, once you spend some time in the Word and show that you know you're on the right path, then maybe we can talk. But you know, I can't trust you with that. you have to be careful who you allow to preach or to teach in the church. You can't just let anybody come up there and talk and say anything. You got to be careful. If they're in the Word and you know, brother, you guys are in the Word and you're understanding these problems as we go through them month after month. And so, you know, I can entrust you guys to read the Word and make interpretations. And then when you guys really don't understand, you'll ask me. And you know, I can trust the days that I'm not there that you guys are going to do the right thing. But, you know, someone that's not in the Word, that don't know nothing, you got to be saying anything. So, you know, that's just hurting others that might listen in or who will want to participate. So you have to be careful who you allow to be the messenger or send the messenger. And in verse 7, you know, the useless legs of a lame person. It's like, you know, someone that can't walk, you know, is like a proverb in the mouth of a fool. You know, it's like it's useless. You know, now I can't use his leg. You know, and the proverb says, you know, it's like someone who has a proverb in the mouth of a fool. He can't. It's useless to him. He can't interpret it. He can't make it be beneficial to anyone. And so, you know, again, you got to be careful who's on your squad, man. You can't let everybody, you know, be on your squad.
Amen. Now, you broke it down the way I needed to hear. Any more comments before we continue? Once again, all lines are open.
All right. Moving forward, just like you were saying, you know, verses basically like 6 almost through 9, talking about the parables of the mouth and everything that's going through there. We're gonna go ahead to verse 12 where it says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than him. I think this verse is saying basically, you know, some people, they let pride get in their way. And, you know, sometimes us being men, we like to say, you know, we know everything. You know, I don't want to listen to anybody. I don't care about that. You know, you said this, but I know this. You know, go tit for tat. And basically not be humble enough to take advice from somebody else that might be older, that might have a little bit more than you, might know what to do and been doing it longer than you. But most of the time, you know, us as men, we like to say, you know, I got this, I'm a man, you know, I don't need to listen to anybody, woo-woo, different stuff like that. But it says, there's more hope for a fool than him. So basically, like, you know, you guys were talking about a fool, you know, not knowing. It's like, if they're not able or you don't, you know, you're not responsive to, say, corrective criticism or somebody else saying something to you, then it's the same case. So you're basically on that level, but it's saying that you passed that level. You can't be helped at all. So at this point, you know, it's not even worth saying anything or doing anything because you're stuck in your own way. You can't do anything about it. So that's the way I feel about that. What you guys think?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like someone, you can't tell them that. You know, I think we run into people like that every day where it's like, you know, I was a kid and we were in Europe, we had a big field in the back of the apartment. And we would get out there early. You know, we would play with like one group of kids from an apartment from one area. We'll pay a group of kids to play football. So we would get out there and practice, and before we get on the field, you know, that people would take their dogs out there and do whatever. So we would take the sand from the sandbox, and we would put sand over top of the dog mess so that, you know, when you was running, you know, you could avoid the dog mess. And so everybody on our squad knew, okay, where the sand was, you know, don't go there, you're going to get some wookie on you, you know. And then they had a group of kids that we would play against. And he would tell them, man, don't say we marked it with the sand. Don't, you know, they're saying don't go that way, don't go that way. Let's play over here where it's, you know, the Wookiee. He had this crazy guy, you know. You couldn't tell him that. He thought he knew everything, blah, 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 blah. You know, we tell him, look, don't step in. He'd come telling us, it's not Wookiee. So he goes over there to the pot of sand where we covered it up and runs his hand through it. And then the fool says, I guess it is Wookiee. but it's so crazy, and it's just like, you know, you can't tell anybody. Sometimes you just let them bump. I can't tell you anything. You know, pop back to verse 11, the dog returns to his vomit, so fools repeat their fault. Sometimes you just have to sit back and watch them. You know, it's like, you know, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to talk the same thing. Yeah, man, I'm going to be there, man. I'm going to do so-and-so, man. We're going to do, woo, 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 woo. Sometime to show up, bam, nothing. You know, it was like, you know, when we were back at our other location, and we were gave the guys and the girls the opportunity to form a gospel go-go band. You know, we had our first meeting. Yeah, man, we're going so-and-so. You know, we get there 2 hours early, set equipment up, do sound check, everything. No show, no call, no phone call. Oh, man, I did this. My GPS went down, blah, 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 blah. I'll be there next time. Get there 2 hours, set up, sound check, everything ready. Body there. Oh, man, I'm going to do it. So after, the third time, I said, well, you guys aren't ready for this, obviously, so we're not going to do this anymore. And then they all mad at me, you know. Oh, man, Pastor just don't want us to do this. Pastor don't want us to do this. But, you know, you're dealing with fools. If you're dealing with fools, how are you going to trust them to be responsible for a band or a group? You know, you book a venue, pay for the venue, you know, get everybody involved, then they don't show up. So it's like, you know, if you see someone continue to do those same patterns, you know, it's just who they are. And, you know, they're wise in their own eyes. And, you know, you just have to pray that God can change their heart, because you'll be wasting your time and money dealing with food. Be careful who you got on your squad.
Amen. These are five comments this morning. I don't mean to be jumping verses, but I like verse 20. Verse 20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. And oftentimes, you know, when we get in situations, especially in the church, and it's sad that, you know, some it's happening in the church, but it is. When you come to a person or people come to you and say, well, let me tell you about sister such and such. And so when you begin to entertain these things, that's how the chaos comes about. But if you just turn away from it, just like the Bible says, that the fire, without the wood, the fire gonna go out. So it's what it's saying to me is that
it's a two-part thing. So if somebody is gossiping, if they have nobody to gossip to, then the gossip dies. Then if you turn your ear away from them, if you turn your back on them, then they have nobody to talk about to. So that's what I believe that this verse is saying, and we have to be careful as men of God to take heed of this word and hide it in our heart, because we are the ones that were given the commandments. We are the ones that God gave the charge to, you know. In the King James Version, it says, "Where there's no wood, there's fire goeth out." So if you don't continue to put the wood in for the fire to keep burning, it's going to go out. So if you don't continue to entertain the fools, then they won't have nothing else to do but go about their way. It's a saying that says the person cannot argue with themselves. And 21 says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So basically, it's telling us that if you entertain it, then something's going to happen. But if you do not entertain it, then nothing can come out of these things. Any comments?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. You can't start a fire if you don't have all of the elements. You know, you need heat, you need fuel, you need oxygen to start a fire. But if you don't bring any heat to it, or you don't bring any oxygen, or you don't bring any fuel to it, you're not gonna have it, and you know it's just gonna go out. And you know you have to mature as a man to understand that, you know, you keep egging somebody on, you know, you keep you know adding fuel to that fire, that thing gonna jump up on you, and before you know it, you might be engulfed in that fire. Sometimes it's just better to leave it alone. Sometimes if it let sleeping dogs lie, you know, don't go by there, and the big old, you know, Rottweiler is over there on the peaceful on the porch, and you think it's because it's a fence that, you know, you're safe, and you're going to start throwing stuff at him and egging him on and barking at him. And you think you got a fence, but you don't understand in the back of the house there's a gate that he can open. So when you think he's been got away, and you egging him on, he done went to the back of the house, came back, and now he's tearing your behind up. Because you kept messing with it. Leave that dog alone, man. Don't mess with that dog. And you'll be all right.
Amen. Any more comments before we move on? 24. So verse 24 says, "A malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit." And I'm going to continue in verse 25 and 26. It says, "Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fills his heart. His malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in assembly." So basically this is saying, you know, basically still talking about the fool and everything, but certain people, you got to know what's going on, and, you know, like you're saying, you know what your squad is, and you know you're hanging out with. Certain people like to start stuff, like it was talking about in verse 20 that he was just talking about the fires and the gossip and everything. They like to start stuff, and you know they like to seem like they're your friend, they in your corner, but in the back of their mind, you know they already setting you up for the fire, so they already leading you there. So it's a thing where, you know, we just have to learn the difference between these people, and know, like we were talking earlier, the difference between, you know, saying certain stuff to certain people and leaving certain people alone, and knowing when not to say stuff and when to just walk away from the situation. Because there are people out here, like I said, that have like seven abominations in their heart, and, you know, they're very good at deceiving people. You know, like it says, deceiving people, you know, they like to say, like it says in his
in the first verse about, you know, his heart. People's hearts sometimes aren't right and aren't in the right place, and they might not do certain things for the right reasons. So you got to watch out for them. Just like you were talking about people preaching in the church. You got to watch out for certain people because, you know, sometimes everything that they say might not be right. You know, their heart might be, not be in the right place. They might perceive something the wrong way. It might just say whatever they want to say or whatever, you know, not what God says, but what they say. So that's the way I feel about that. You got any last comments before we wrap it up? No? All righty then. So we're going to close out real quick. I'd like to thank everybody tuning in to the first word once again, though. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thanks for helping us get through this session right here. Thank you for helping us learn about the food today and hope that we don't play the food this week and that we learn from this chapter everything that we just talked about. So I pray that we have a great rest of the day, that everybody has a great rest of the week, and that we stay blessed. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. All right, till next week, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Get out.